to Christ the Center, your weekly conversation of Reformed theology. This is episode number 595. My name is Camden Busey. We're back for a very special episode today, a little bit different. We're going to be talking about Reformed Forum itself and about some important news. But to do that, we have some very special guests, some of our regulars, and also a new face for you, not for us, but well, let me introduce to you some of our board members. And first, I'm going to introduce to you two of the co-founders. So along with me, 11 and a half years ago, we have Jim Cassidy will start. Jim Cassidy is pastor of South Austin OPC in South Austin, Texas. Hey, Jim, it's great to see you. And he's muted.
Good to be here, Camden.
What Christ the Center episode would it be if Jim didn't mute himself?
Forget to unmute himself.
The problem is he only mutes himself when we want him to talk.
We wish he would mute himself most of the time.
If he had like a mute in life, you know, that's where we were talking of the hit earlier before we started recording, the hidden benefits of having hearing aids. You can turn you can turn people and events and things on and off. But anyway, we have Jeff Waddington as well. Jeff is one of the co-founders of Reform Forum, a ministerial member of the Presbytery of Philadelphia. Welcome back, Jeff. It's good to have you with us.
Good to be here. And I can tell you, having worn hearing aids for the last 48 years, that there are hidden benefits, and they're hidden to me, too.
Yeah. Well, I'm not looking forward to those days when I need to wear them, but I can say it's not all bad. My dad's got some pretty slick ones, but he does some cool tricks with his phone on his Bluetooth hearing aids. But anyway, that's for another day. We also have with us one of our board members and is serving as our treasurer of the board of Reform Forum. Mark Van Drinnen. Mark is a ruling elder at PCA Church. One of the two. I don't actually know the title of your church. There's two PCA churches in Hudson, Ohio. And
that's right.
He serves on the session with Reverend Dr. Scott Wright, who has been a guest on our program before, who's done some wonderful work on a biblical theology of regeneration. His dissertation was at Westminster Theological Seminary. Incidentally, also the brother-in-law of Craig Troxell, who many people know. But Mark, it's a pleasure to have you with us. Thanks for joining us today.
Glad to be here, and the name of our church is Redeemer Church Hudson, Ohio.
At the other PCA, also a good PCA. So it just so happens there's two of them in Hudson, but it's great to know of Redeemer. And we need to ask the perfunctory question, are you related to our friend David Van Drinnen?
Oh, yes. I get asked that frequently. David and I have never met. I believe we are fifth cousins. So we are related distantly. He grew up on the west side of Chicago. I grew up on the south side.
Yeah, but still you're a Cub fan. So thank you. Praise God for his grace.
Yes, very thankful for my great-grandfather who grew up in Cicero and told me the correct way to root for Chicago teams.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Well, the reason we have all of these brothers on the program today is we're going to be speaking about some important developments here at Reformed Forum. Some people may know already what's been going on and some of our plans. Some people may not. And I was just in Philadelphia last week for the Ministerial Training Institute of the OPC. And even there, some old friends had seen some news regarding my church here in Grays Lake, but had not heard or been filled in terms of everything that's going on here at Reformed Forum. So we're going to walk through all that. We have some really exciting news. And a real exciting opportunity, really, to discuss these things and also to get people on board and partner with us, the people that have been with us for so long. So to cut to the chase, you know, and get on it before we belabor the point, we're going to have something of a state of the forum. We had one of those years ago where we just kind of used it as an opportunity to talk about where we've been, where we're going. But on point, we've come to the position here at Reform Forum where for many, many years we've been laboring, we've been volunteering all of our services. There are definitely our perks to doing what we do. We get to talk to amazing people every week. We often get review copies of books, and we get to go places and be part of things that we really enjoy by meeting new people and experiencing the blessings of Christ Church because of what we do here in terms of the podcasts and the publishing and the events. But it's a labor of love. It will never cease being a labor of love, I hope. At the same time, Reform Forum has, for 11 and a half years now, been really a side project for many of us. And we've had so many opportunities that we've had to pass on. There have been many things that we've been wanting to do with the organization, but we just can't get to them because we all have families. Beyond that, we're all pastors or involved in ministry or full-time jobs. We have other responsibilities with the presbytery and with the community. And so Reform Forum often is third, fourth, or fifth on our list of obligations, which means that we can only do so much. Sometimes we have to just scrap together some episodes in the week to make sure we get at least Christ the Center out. But there are a lot of things that we're not able to do. And we've always been in this chicken and egg kind of catch-22 position, because in order to move Reform Forum out of a side project kind of hobby endeavor and into something that is able to sustain people focusing on it full-time and working ahead, we need people to focus on it full-time in order to build out the foundation and the platform so that we can support this work. But we can't get people to work on it full-time and head in that direction without the income that might come from those same projects. So we'll explain all that, but we're going to be moving into a new territory. And I've been called by my church now as an evangelist. I'll explain that in a minute. And the Presbytery has approved this. So come July 1st, I'll be serving as Reform Forum's first executive director. I'll be doing that as a full-time position, and Reform Forum will be paying my salary and helping me feed my family. And I will be focusing full-time, you know, throughout the week and throughout the years, concentrating on the ministry and the efforts here at Reform Forum in support of and in service of the church. So that doesn't entail me moving anywhere. I still be involved at Hope OPC, and I'll be on the session. I'll continue to preach as I have opportunity, and I'll be doing a lot of pulpit supply at nearby churches. I'll actually probably be teaching a lot more in the future than I have been in the past, because we have a tremendous amount of teachers here, but I've also been focusing on the pulpit ministry. I'll still be able to be doing shepherding, you know, family visits, everything. I'll be a minister on the session, except I won't be a pastor. I'll be an evangelist. That's a little OPC thing. But we need to back up and kind of talk about our plans and our founding before we ever can get to that position. But that's where we're going, and I didn't want to bury the lead. But we want to explain this, explain what we're up to, why we want to do this, and how you, the listeners and the viewers, can help move us in this into this new chapter, this next phase of Reform Forum's life. Jim or Jeff, you want to explain things, maybe at least to reminisce a little bit about those first early days and kind of help set the stage for our conversation today before we get into some nuts and bolts on strategy and, you know, plans and procedures for the years to come?
Sure. We now go back, Camden, you and I go back.
The longest.
The longest. Yeah. We knew each other on the web through, the previous website before even Reform Forum and Castle Church before that. You and I were involved with a website where we, in my case, I took papers I had written in the PhD program and serialized them.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we got to know each other.
Kind of an early theological blog at solagratia.org.
That's right.
And I was working with an associate pastor at the church where I attended. I say attended because they wouldn't let me be a member because it was a Baptist church and I wouldn't get baptized again. But a very faithful church, and I appreciated them a lot. But we were working on this website, Sola Gratia, and needed some contributors. And so we just sent an email to Bill Edgar at Westminster and asked if he or if any students or anybody would be interested in contributing. And this was like 2005, so you got to remember that there was very early on, there were a few theological blogs, but very few, not many at all. And so Jeff and Sebastian Heck both contributed pieces. And Jeff and I started up a conversation. I always joke that Jeff's my first internet friend. This precedes social media, precedes all that stuff. It's hard. I know it's hard for some of you young people out there to remember. I had I'm only 38, but I had an analog childhood, right? Like I didn't have the internet at home at all until I I moved out and I got it at college. I had an email address when I was 17, but I could only access it at school, and no one was sending me messages. So why bother having it? So, but that's what life was like. But Jeff and I connected. And then from that point, that led to several things. And I got to meet Jeff in person when I was looking for an apartment in Philadelphia, preparing to move and to come attend Westminster.
And the first thing I did was to take you to the front porch of Lane Tipton's house.
Yep.
So you got introduced, I think, to the Doss and Kays study group.
Yes.
It was a student group of PhD and master's degree students who had discussed apologetic issues, Doss being the nickname for Machen and Kays being the nickname for Cornelius Van Til.
Absolutely.
So then Jim got involved, and we just had very good, we thought very helpful conversations around the table, dinner table or going to, wherever we were. And so at some point it dawned on us, well, maybe this would, I think maybe Camden, you had shared about your experience being out in the part of the country where there are not a lot of Reformed churches.
Yeah.
And thought that it might be useful for folk to sit in on the conversations that we have.
Yeah, the kind of the story of this is I tried to record in our book, No Uncertain Sound. So if you want to hear about the Reformed Forum origin story, comic books, all the superheroes always have an origin story. Well, we recorded an origin story for Reformed Forum. And the timing just worked out well. I mean, in God's providence, I did come from an area where I was reading voraciously and just bathing in Reformed theology, but I didn't have anyone to speak with other than Jeff. Really, I had no confessional friends, nobody that subscribed to the Westminster Standards or the Three Forms of Unity. And some of that maybe was because I didn't know who to talk to find those people, but there wasn't any real tremendously solid confessional church that was in my area. And so, praise God, I was in a church that preached the gospel and that were Calvinists, and they got me set on the right trajectory. Sometimes I joke they taught me better than they intended because they taught me to study the Bible well, and I moved beyond dispensationalism into confessional Reformed theology. But when we moved to Philadelphia, I was finding I was having theological conversations all the time. I joke, my wife thinks too many conversations, too often. But I remembered my previous situation and realized, well, now with this new technology, we can put audio files online and you don't have to have a radio station for people to listen to a program. And you can have just a normal conversation. I already had the microphones and equipment because I was into guitars and music and recording. And so I thought, well, why can't we just record some of these conversations and put them online and see what happens? Because if you're not able to have a conversation directly, the next best thing is to be able to listen to one regularly, a people that are working on these ideas and hashing these things out. And that's how Christ the Center started. So Christ the Center existed as a program beginning January 2008, and it preceded Reform Forum. We didn't have, I just had a domain name, castlechurch.org, which was I bought it because it's, Luther nailed his 95 Theses to the Castle Church door in Wittenberg. So I just bought that domain and I had it. And so that's why we just put it up on that website. But the program was always called Christ the Center. But it wasn't until later that we realized it was confusing people that the Christ the Center program was on Castle Church and it sounded like the name of an actual church. And we didn't want to confuse anybody. So we thought about names for our organization and Reform Forum came about. Jim, you remember some of those early years and those early conversations? In some ways, we've come a long way. In others, we still have the same technological problems we did in 2008.
Yeah, I do remember it very well, and a lot of fond memories of. And I think we were not. I don't think I know. We were doing kind of roundtable discussions on the internet, sort of speak, or by way of Skype or what have you, even before you and I met in person as well. So I remember we would be in three different locations. You would be in your your home, and yep. Jeff would be in his, and I'd be down at the stealing the Wi-Fi from the Princeton Seminary library, sitting in the parking lot in my car recording conversations. Sometimes I would go away into one of the student study rooms there, and really have a strong internet connection, be able to converse. I have been shushed as well at that library for talking a little bit too loud,
and because of your ideas. Shh,
it was because of all the things I was saying about Bart, I guess, that people weren't happy about. So anyhow, we had a lot of really great conversations, and if that's all it ever amounted to, if it was just having great conversations and recording them and a couple of people listening in and enjoying them or benefiting from them, that would have been fine with me.
And yeah, it's definitely worth it, even for that.
It was worth it because it was fun and it was edifying and encouraging to each other. And so we were surprised. I was kind of surprised when we began to see that people were not only listening, but a lot of people started to listen, and it just sort of grew from there over the last 11 and a half years. And here we are at our next really big step. And
I think there were podcasts existing when we started. There definitely were. Renewing Your Mind, White Horse Inn. But I can't verify this. We very well may be the first Reformed podcast that started as a podcast. I don't know that for sure, but they started as radio programs, which, praise God for that, and they're still going strong, still broadcasting and helping, hundreds of thousands, millions of people out there, and we don't want that to stop. But we began in an organic way within that soil of the new podcast movement, and it's only grown, and we've seen the power of that medium and the usefulness of it for people. And now it's become, like blogs used to be. You used to hear someone's got a blog. Oh, great. Well, it was so easy. Everyone had a blog. And now podcasts have grown up where everyone's got a podcast. And that's good. It's bad. Sometimes you got to sift through, what's worth listening to and all that. But Reform Forum is very interested in moving beyond just the podcast. And we do a lot of other things. We're going to prayerfully do even more on in this next chapter of our life.
Here's a funny story. So in the early days when podcasting was taking off, and then, of course, we had Reform Forum going, I used to get questions from people, or people who I knew would say, hey, I heard you on this podcast, Christ the Center. That's really great. How do you do that? And my answer every time was, I don't know. I mean, I just sort of,
I don't know.
I sort of just show up, and people thought that like I was on the cutting edge of this media technology.
Yeah, meanwhile, we're in Jeff's daughter's bedroom with some microphones.
recording some stuff. And I just had to tell people, look, you got to talk to Cam DeBusey, because I just show up and talk. That's it. But that was the best part about it, was that all I'd have to do is show up, talk, and we would sit around and we would just talk about the stuff that we are genuinely interested in, that we like and we know a thing or two about. And as ministers, who doesn't love to sit around and talk about theology? And that's Amen. Really the way it started out. Yeah. And just really exciting stuff.
Well, Mark, I would like to rope you in. And Mark has been with us for a few years. I met Mark in 2011 at a Gospel Coalition conference in Chicago. With another good friend, Russ Gape, if I'm getting his last name correct, with both are members of the church there in Hudson. And Mark and Russ, or Russ more so, was interested in theology, and Mark was along. Mark was really interested in talking to Bob Dole, I think, a different.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, a Christian who was there. Yeah, he was working for BlackRock.
Yeah.
But Mark's a certified financial planner, so he's in that space, and was interested to talk to a very accomplished person in that field who also happened to be there. And I think he was speaking, if he wasn't. Anyway, but Mark, you've been tremendously helpful to us, and get our heads screwed on correctly, because we have a bunch of theologians and we don't always think, I went to business school, but that doesn't mean that I learned a lot. But we also sometimes need to be directed in a proper strategic way and think realistically about what's going on. And there are times where we've had plans and ideas and it just wasn't going to make sense in two ways, SEN, S-E or C-E-N-T-S. You say, well, this isn't viable. But I was wondering if you could speak to us about our trip to Western Michigan last year, some of our ups and downs at our summit and our strategizing.
Yeah. And actually, Camden, when did you move out to Chicago?
I moved back as an intern in August, thereabouts 2012. Okay. Then I moved to Grays Lake in May 2000. I became pastor in April 2013, but I didn't move for about a month after that. So, yeah, on the way back is when I stayed at your house.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's
your mother-in-law
really when,
wondered who these strange people were that who had invaded.
That's right. Well, I think I started listening to Reform Forum when you did that large work on worldview, where you had Dr. Klosterman.
That's right.
You had three other viewpoints.
You're right. Christ and Culture series.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's when Russ Gape said, hey, Mark, this is something that's right up your alley. You'd love to listen to this. And so that's when I started listening live and then going back and listening to some of the episodes. So I've been greatly blessed by this ministry, and it's helped me as an elder be a better church officer, to worship Christ in a deeper and more profound way. So I've loved it, and it's been fun to be part of it.
Amen.
So a year ago, we were almost at this time, we were in Western Michigan, and how that came about is we started thinking about what is next. You know, what is the strategic direction of this ministry? Because there were, I'd say, some growing pains of being able to handle all the ministry challenges and opportunities that are set before us. Camden, I think, sleeps about 2.5 hours every day to be able to get everything done. So we're very thankful for his work. But in many ways, it wasn't sustainable to continue down that path. And so as a board, we decided to get together to cast the strategic vision for Reform Forum. And so we got together in Western Michigan, actually met at the Puritan Reformed Seminary. They provided an excellent facility. Yeah,
they were very kind and hospitable to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're very thankful for them. We had, I believe we interviewed two of their professors that they can go back and listen to. I don't recall their names off the top of my head.
Stephen Myers and William or Bill Van Dudeward, and had good conversations with them. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
got to meet several others in person, but those were the two that were interviewed for an actual episode.
Yeah, and we had a wonderful lunch where we got to speak about what was happening in their church and some of the challenges and how Reform Forum could be supportive. And that's something that not just there at our meeting, but in other venues, we've been able to ask questions like that. And so through that dialogue, through your emails and through your posts on social media, we've gathered information, and in our meeting, we cast a vision for what's next. And through that strategic plan, I believe Camden's going to post this in the show notes, we kind of codified what are the guiding principles for the organization. This is something that Camden has really emphasized through this meeting and our successive board meetings, is our mission statement that Reform Forum exists to present every person mature in Christ. And you're pulling that from Colossians chapter 1, verse 28.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So through that, we developed a three-phase plan that we're going to talk a little bit about today, you know, just a high, you know, high level develop of curriculum. Some of you have heard about our class that we just videoed down in Wimberley, Texas on covenant theology. Also in that phase one, so to speak, was the writing of the Gerhardus Voss book. Almost 80% of the books that we had printed are now in your hands. So we thank you for your support it certainly surpassed our expectations for the demand there. And then into phase two, we're talking about expanding operations, hiring our first full-time employee, that being Camden, to be able to help execute some of our goals. And then third, being able to expand those to touch those, not just here in North America, but also have a global impact on the church. So Camden, why don't you touch a little bit about how we are plugged in to the church to be supportive and also with the Great Commission.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, we definitely exist. Our mission is to present every person mature in Christ. But of course, I hope all of our listeners know, and perhaps if they're new people listening, you can understand, we have spent a lot of time thinking about ecclesiology or the doctrine of the church and how we relate to the church. Many of us are ministers of the gospel, but all of us on the board presently are ordained officers in the church, and we recognize that that the church is uniquely gifted and called of the Lord as the body of Christ to carry out what the Lord has given her to do, the mission that God presents. And that is very succinctly spoken and contained in the Great Commission in Matthew 28, namely verses 16 through 20. I'll read that. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountains to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So quite clearly, Christ entrusted his church with this commission. Not parachurch organizations, not individuals, but the church. And so it's not the purview of an organization like Reform Forum to engage directly in this activity, at least in our conviction and in our interpretation of the Bible here. But that's where Reform Forum fits in. We seek to support the church in that very mission, understanding it's the church's mission to do this, but we can help the church accomplish these things. I'll just walk through a few theological points, because I think the Great Commission, I trust all you brothers would agree, so often misunderstood, and there's so many different competing interpretations of what's going on here. But it's really important, because I think it links directly with our mission statement. We've designed it that way on purpose. You see, in the original language, there is one imperative in the Great Commission, make disciples in the English. It's one Greek word, mathetousita. And so everything else qualifies what it means to make disciples. Initially, it involves going into the world, and this means that this activity then is therefore global, and the church certainly must not discriminate among ethnic or socioeconomic groups, because God has chosen his people from among all the nations, and the church must take the message of Christ crucified to the ends of the earth. Wherever there are people, the message needs to go. And so this making of disciples is further qualified also by the activity of baptizing and teaching. Going, but then also baptizing and teaching. And Jesus commands the church to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And baptism, if Glenn, our worship expert, were here, he no doubt would approve, it signifies entrance into the covenant community by virtue of union with Christ. Yet, disciples must not only be brought into the covenant community, they also need to be taught. It doesn't just stop with conversions, but it continues with teaching and discipleship. And the content of this instruction is all that Christ has commanded the church. Not just a few things, not a mere Christianity, but all that God, that Christ, namely, has commanded them. You know, let's go back. What did Jesus say? Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, not just a part of it. And so we may say that this fits very well with what Paul says in Acts chapter 20, verse 27. It is the whole counsel of God. And so in this manner, the church is entrusted with the activity of caring for God's people from grace to glory. It really is a lifetime work of discipleship. So the Great Commission does not just end when somebody is brought into the kingdom. The Great Commission is the full-blown activity of the church, not only to make disciples, to go and make disciples, baptizing them, but also teaching them everything that Christ has commanded. It's just what Jesus says, but often we don't listen to what he actually said or think about what the implications are. There's more. But wait, there's more. The Great Commission then is really just the quintessential mission statement of the church. It is really what we are about as Christians, and until all of Christ's sheep are brought into his fold, then this work needs to continue. I'm convinced this is why Jesus has not yet returned, because there's more work to do. There's more elect that need to be called and brought into the family of God. Once all the elect are in, then God will come, and he'll eliminate his common grace and bring judgment, and he'll resurrect and raise the dead. But it's important that we also recognize that the church does not engage in this activity on her own. She has a helper, namely Christ promised always to be with his people, but he sent to them, of course, the Holy Spirit. And through the Spirit, we're confident that God will complete his work on the day of Jesus Christ. That's what he says, what the God says in Philippians 1:6 through Paul. So while the church then is entrusted with this singular focus and specifically enabled by the Holy Spirit with charismatic gifts, gifts of the Spirit, to do these things, the ministry of the Great Commission does take on different forms and different contexts. And that's where I think our OPC identity fits in. We're not an organization of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, but I think the Orthodox Presbyterian Church gets this aspect of ecclesiology right. And this is what I mean. Because if you have an established denomination, if you have an established presbytery and you have established local churches, then the Great Commission in that area will typically function in the form of Christian education. You know, you already have churches, local churches, they're already organized. So what you still do the Great Commission there, but what does it look like most of the time? Most of the time it will take the form of Christian ed. If you have presbyteries and you have a regional church, the regional church networks, but you don't have any local churches in a specific area, then what's the Great Commission going to look like then? It's going to more frequently look like home missions or church planting. But if you don't have a denomination, how is the Great Commission going to look? It's going to look an awful lot like foreign missions. I like to think of it that way. And those are the three standing committees that the Orthodox Presbyterian Church has: Christian ed, home missions, foreign missions. But it's really important to understand those three committees are doing the exact same work. It just looks different in the context in which they serve. What are they doing? They're doing the Great Commission. And whether that's teaching people and maturing them in Christ, whether that's baptizing new people, whether that's planting churches in areas where we already have some churches nearby, or planting churches and establishing churches where there is nothing, it's all in service of Christ and his kingdom. And these different contexts require different emphases, and they're going to need that all the way until Christ returns. But these differences, I think, to get back to our mission statement, are helpfully understood and categorized in terms of differences in levels of maturity. All right. So again, Christ has commanded his church to teach his people everything that he has commanded, not just the bare minimum to get in, but to teach and instruct them all the way through their whole lives. And so to think then about Colossians 1:28, Paul says, "For this I toil, striving with all of his energy that he powerfully works within me." He seeks to present every person mature in Christ. And when Paul spoke of that in Colossians 1:28, he used that word, teleon, a word that parallels the emphasis that is in the Great Commission, which is discipleship through baptizing and teaching. And he parallels that by indicating initiation into Christ as well as growth in Christ. So Paul's likely using a technical term that was often used for initiates into Colossian mystery religions, but he certainly had in mind much more than entrance into Christ, because he sought to make the Word of God fully known. So, okay, where then does Reformed Forum fit in? Because we don't engage directly in the Great Commission. That's the church's job. The Holy Spirit works in and through the church, the body of Christ, using the means of grace: word, sacraments, prayer. But Reformed Forum is committed to assisting the church in that maturation process. And we support the church specifically by encouraging a fidelity to the sufficiency of Scripture in all aspects of the Great Commission. And the Reformed tradition generally, and then we think also Gerhardus Voss and Cornelius Van Til specifically, were striving to be radically faithful and consistent to Scripture. And that's why we love them so much and try to emulate them in our own ministerial activities. But I want to read you a quote, and then I'll shut up because I've been talking a lot. But you may recall the history of the early 20th century relative to American Presbyterianism. There was a modernist fundamentalist controversy. And during that time, a young E.J. Young wrote to J. Gresham Machen. Machen, of course, was the founder of Westminster Theological Seminary, and he was a key figure in the founding of the OPC, which had not yet been formed at the time of this letter. It was anticipated, but it had not yet been formed because the letter was written in 1935. But let me read you this quote from Young to Machen, as Machen's picture, as Machen looks down on me now here in my office. Young writes this: within the church, he's anticipating the OPC, but he says, within the church, there should be an organization entirely independent of the formal church, which would act as leaven. This organization should be composed of ministers, elders, and laymen of the new church alone, who not only believe the Westminster Confession, but who are on fire with it. The purpose of this organization should be to propagate and to defend the Reformed faith, to point out the errors of modernism, sacerdotalism, premillennialism, Arminianism, trichotomy, and so much of the anti-scriptural evangelism of today. Furthermore, this group would seek to propagate Reformed literature, such as your book, Christianity and Liberalism, Bettner's book, and works of that type. It would seek to propagate this literature not only among the clergy, but also among the laity. In other words, it would be a mission agency, a missionary agency, whose primary field is the church. Further, it would eventually seek to promote truly Reformed Bible conferences and evangelistic campaigns, would seek to start Reformed Bible classes and prayer meetings, and would seek to encourage Reformed radio broadcasts, etc. That was written October 2nd, 1935. So 73 years had passed before Reformed Forum was founded, and certainly a lot had changed regarding technology, but we really believe, at least providentially, that we have become, if not this organization, one very much like it. And there really is a need today, just as there was then. We're not in the middle of a modernist fundamentalist controversy within our denomination, but the same theological challenges persist. The same dangers are out there, and we're still fighting a lot of those same battles. And so Reform Forum, we are committed to be faithful to Scripture to the end that Christ would be glorified in the fulfillment of the Great Commission by the power of His Holy Spirit working in and through His church. That's basically the whole thing. You know, that's the theological impetus and foundation upon which we stand. That's our rationale for existing, and that guides our thoughts in terms of what we want to do in the future. And we can talk more about the plans and more specifics in terms of finances and actual projects right now. But I wanted to get that out there. Not really a manifesto, but that's our rationale. That's why we exist. And we always want to be tethered to and supportive of the church so that we may present every person mature in Christ.
Yeah, I think that what comes to the foreground here, Camden, and thank you for that, because it's stuff like that that really gets our juices flowing when we get together and we do the work we do and we plan the things that we plan. And what that's saying, as far as I understand, particularly as E.J. Young is looking at the situation in the church in his day, and he's looking at the church and he is concerned about the lack of concern for doctrine. And I think this is the area where we want to be able to say, as the Reform Forum, we want to aid, help, and serve the church precisely in this area, to not only provide resources, but also perhaps here, by God's grace and with humble hearts, recognizing that we are sinners and that we need God's grace and forgiveness, because we don't always get it right either. But nevertheless, seeking to serve the church in guiding her and encouraging her in sound doctrine, so that we hope to see the church built up encouraged and equipped to carry out the Great Commission precisely in this area, that we might be able to articulate clearly and faithfully the truth of God's word.
Thank you. Yeah, that is what gets us going. That really excites us. And whenever we're able to meet together at an event or cross paths, we seek to encourage one another in that regard. And we hope that our listeners are encouraged too. And we know many of you are because you tell us. And you tell us how much this common cause means to you and a difference that the Lord is making in your life as a result of like-minded brothers and sisters who are committed to the faith that's been handed down once for all delivered to the saints. But to put some meat on it, there's a lot of meat there, but I mean, at least to talk in specifics, that's more abstract, and many organizations could have similar ideals and work them out specifically in different ways. But we here at Reform Forum have taken that, we've taken that core concern, and in our meeting last year, developed this three-phase plan. Mark, I was wondering if you would be prepared to talk a little bit about the details, because now it's time to get down to brass tacks in terms of what this means. And we're in a position already to tell you these things. We've been holding off for about a year because we needed to get some things in place. And the Lord has already been blessing us tremendously. And we're in a position now where I can make this transition because of some wonderful news and wonderful support from many of our listeners. But we still need a lot of help. And I think it'd be helpful for you, Mark, to kind of walk us through our three-phase plan and even explain to everyone what we've already accomplished.
Yeah, absolutely. And so after a lot of prayerful consideration, a lot of deliberation, a lot of long days in Western Michigan, and since then, we have developed a three-phase plan. And it's consistent from the roots, what you just heard, the roots of where Reform Forum came from. You know, for the past 11 and a half years, Reform Forum has, you know, punched above its weight. We've leveraged technology and been able to distribute this material, this theological rich material to help the church. And we've done it in a low-cost manner, providing it essentially free to all our listeners, our viewers, our readers. And we plan to continue that. We plan to continue to leverage technology to be able to distribute this out to our listeners, readers, and both here in the United States and beyond. Camden, how many listeners do we have outside the United
question.
States?
I could look it up. Outside the U.S., I mean, there are tremendous amounts of countries represented. I'll look it up while we're talking. But I mean, we've definitely been punching above our weight. I mean, people might be surprised to talk dollars and cents, but we've been doing this for 11 and a half years, and we've grown over the years, and the Lord has always provided whatever we needed. But, you know, even for the last several years, our expenses, our budgets, you know, $25,000 a year, maybe. So we've been doing everything we've been able to do, all events, everything, and all the travel expenses that afforded that, all of our equipment bills, you know, website hosting, you name it. All that stuff, all told, has been about $25,000 a year. And so, praise God that we've been able to do these things. And it wouldn't have been possible 10 years ago, technologically, to do things at that level with that expense. But it's time to move to the next phase.
Right. And so, you know, with that core technology, leveraging this technology, we have been very efficient. We've been very good stewards of the funds that God has entrusted us. We thank you for your generosity over these years. And in order to achieve phase two, phase three of our goals, we're coming to you as stakeholders in Reform Forum, as listeners, to participate in this. And let me just go through what we have accomplished and what we aim to accomplish over the next months and years ahead of us. So phase one, many of you have already seen the fruits of those labors. You have received and read the Boss book. I'm very thankful for. I grew up in South Holland, Illinois, and in some ways, reading the Voss Group made me think of what South Holland was 100 years prior to, steeped in that Dutch Reform culture. So I was very thankful for the work that Danny did and Camda did editing to get that in our hands. As a matter of fact, there's a group of us at our church that are going through that book, reading it, discussing the theology, and also the church history there, the developments, what are the corollaries for our day and age. And so with phase one, in essence, that is complete. Our phase two is focused on staffing, hiring Camden, bringing him on to be able to execute some of the goals, to produce new material like the Voss Group. As I mentioned already, we have already filmed a adult Sunday school class on covenant theology with Dr. Lane Tipton, and there's more like that to come. We hope to be able to release that later this year. Phase three, this is more long-range planning. What would it look like to provide educational material to pastors, to theologians, both here in the United States as well as outside the United States? And so many of those goals for phase three that they'll be in the document have yet to be realized or even started upon. But we're going to see how the Lord continues to support our ministry. We want to be faithful to the call that God has placed on us. And in order to do that, we believe that we need to raise the funds sufficient to get us through the next phase. So yeah, to be very conservative, we've gone out and raised 50% of the funds for the next 3 years. So those funds are either in the bank or already committed for us. And that has allowed us as a board to say, all right, we're ready to make an offer to Camden to move him from being paid by Hope Orthodox Presbyterian Church to being paid by Reform Forum. And so that will take place on July 1st. We're very excited to be able to use Camden's diverse talents to push and execute the goals that we have. So with that, those funds already raised through pledges and donations, we're asking our viewers, our listeners, our readers, if you can help us close the next gap. And that gap is we need an additional $8,000 per month to be able to accomplish that. We know that we have thousands, if not tens of thousands of viewers and listeners who have been blessed by this ministry over the past few years. And we're asking you to prayerfully consider that after you fulfill your obligation of giving to your church, that you'd consider giving to Reform Forum and supporting the ministry here. And that can be in all varieties. We have people that are writing checks that have commas and zeros in them, and we have people that are writing checks on a monthly basis of $16.49.
$16.89, that one.
Yeah, $16.89 as well.
He sends us a message with that. Yeah. We've had a 1936, but there are a lot. We for many years had a lot of $2 a month donations and $5 a month, and those, yeah, that's the bread and butter. That praise God it. For that. That's been tremendously helpful, and we never want to see that end. It truly has been a tremendous blessing. I guess one way to put the fundraising into perspective, I like to use this metaphor. We've always had that chicken and egg issue where we need somebody or several people down the road to focus full time on the work ahead. And the fruits of those labors provide steady revenue down the road. If you think about it, if we have Sunday school curriculum that's available, if we have more books, if we are able to do that work and provide courses and other learning opportunities and experiences for our people, those things in turn not only help the church, but also provide revenue at a point that help us to funnel that money back in to do even more work. But when you don't have anyone able to focus on the work full time, we can't do those things that eventually provide sustaining revenue in the future. So we need a runway. And you think about an airplane. I've been flying a lot lately, so I think about this a lot. But you got to go down the runway, and you got to get enough distance to get up to speed so that you can take off. And we approached several people, and we're approaching everyone now, to help us build a runway that's long enough that would allow us to get up to speed and take off, so that once we take off, we don't need that runway anymore. And we could use the support in the future, not no longer for a runway, but for other projects and other activities that the Lord would have us to do. And so we've been very well provided for. We're very thankful for several groups and several folks that have come alongside us to get a good portion of that runway there. And we have about 3/5 of it done. So we've got enough of it going where we can start on July 1, but we're asking you prayerfully to consider helping us build the final 2 years of that runway so that we don't have to stop in 3 years, but that we can get that extra leg of that runway to be able to take off. And that's what Mark spoke of. We have money in the bank. We're able to do this safely. I'm not worried that if I start this July 1, that by the end of the year, I'm going to, you know, be unemployed. So we're trying to be very conservative and responsible with this, but we also recognize that we're going to need about 5 years to get enough courses developed, enough books published and written and edited, enough events on the schedule. We need those extra 2 years. So we're asking you, the listener, the viewer, the reader, prayerfully to consider committing to that. And there's a real simple way you can do that. You can contact me. I'd be happy to speak with anybody on the phone. You can send me a note and mail at reformedforum.org. You can set up a time to talk. You can also just visit the donate page at reformedforum.org/donate and pledge your support there. I'll come visit you. If you know, come July 1, I'll have a little bit more flexibility with what I can do. But I just want to share the good news and explain how Reform Forum is excited about supporting the church. And so that's where we're really where we're at. The specific ask is help us build the final 40% of that runway so we don't have to abort the mission.
That's right. And as Camden has already mentioned, our roots have been very to stretch the dollar, and that's exactly what we're doing in this plan. And that analogy that Camden shared about the runway, I think is very apt for us. There's a lot of plans that we have, and really what we're going to use the next 3 years is to be able to find the target. You know, we're going to be able to have enough curriculum, enough material produced by that time. We'll see what really scratches the itch. And from that, we'll be able to zero in on what the needs of those churches are out there. So we would also welcome your feedback. Mm-hmm. What needs, what challenges is your church facing today? And how can we, the Reform Forum, help support you in that endeavor?
Yeah, I think one helpful way that we can envision that target, and we recognize in a year and 3 years and 5 years, the landscape changes, and sometimes you have to correct course. Maybe you have to pivot a little bit. But as best we can tell, that there's an insatiable hunger and a desire from our listeners to go deeper and to study these things in between Lord's days. And that supports the efforts of the church, but we also have many ministers who are yearning for continued education. And we're not seeking to be a degree-granting organization, and we view ourselves as not only supporting the church, but in many ways supporting the seminary and also picking up the seminary when the seminary education is complete. And so there's a tremendous need for continuing education. There's also a tremendous need for what some people might call propedeutic courses, preparatory courses before going off to seminary. And of course, from all the people in our churches that would like to learn and grow and know their Bible more deeply and fully, that are never going to go to seminary and, you know, could really benefit from next level and, you know, alternative forms of education that are enabled by current modern technologies. And so the phase three of our plan is not just phase two is to lay a foundation for the future, have an executive director to build a curriculum so we have resources and materials that we can send. But phase three would be to have a study center. And that may involve having a physical location where people may come in, travel, and take a course for a week or two, where pastors could come for a study leave and spend time and converse with our faculty members, where we had a library that people could use. But it also would include having smart classrooms where we can have courses that are non-geographically based. And not just for scholars who might want to learn some of the finer things of, you know, Trinitarian, inter-Trinitarian perichoretic relations. We could have a course on that, and we would. But also officer training, potential, you know, other aspects, children's catechism, who knows? The options are limitless. But having a location where we can have a smart or two or three smart classrooms with proper cameras and audio video will enable us to begin these things. And we're looking to start this in earnest very soon. I would very much like in July or August to spin up an experimental course where perhaps Jeff or me or somebody else could teach a class maybe once a week, a Bible study or a theological course, but also to create reading groups and discussion groups where brothers and sisters from around the world can tune in and schedule and read a book together and discuss that. These are the kinds of things that we're working to do. And we see that as enabling a global education in the future. And that's where we're shooting. That's where we're going. But again, we need your help to get there, to get that runway, and then also to encourage us and give us your feedback as to what would be beneficial and helpful to you and to your churches. What do you think, guys?
Well, I agree that's I think the roadmap that we've, or the runway architecture that we've laid out here, hopefully will help folk to see where it is that we want to go. All the while depending upon the Lord to direct us in His path. But if you don't aim at something, that's what you'll hit, right?
Nothing. That's right.
Exactly, you've heard the cliches of a failure to plan is a plan to fail, that kind of thing. So this is something that I think we've now are entering or have entered upon a new phase in the life of the Reformed Forum. And I think by God's grace, there are many wonderful opportunities that are opening up for us. And we want to invite you to come along with us to do that.
That's right. The one of the things that most of our listeners don't get a chance to hear are the life-changing stories that we get to hear from our listeners. And not to sort of put a, you know, melodramatic spin on the entire thing, but there really are stories that each and every one of us here at Reform Forum get to hear and get to see from people who tune into Reform Forum, never knew a thing about Reform theology beforehand, and now are ministers in Reform Church. I mean, that's sort of like, you know, the wow part. I mean, but we've got everything short of that as well. People who have never heard of a Reformed church and now have them and their family faithfully attending a solid Reformed church. We've gotten notices from chaplains who are serving overseas, our military personnel overseas, and are a witness and a light in really a very dark place where there is pressure, continual increasing pressure upon our chaplains to tone down our theological distinctives.
and they are getting encouragement as they tune in and as they have interaction with us. Missionaries around the world are tuning in and expressing their thankfulness that while it may seem where they are, there is just a waste. They're in the middle of a wasteland theologically. And to be able to tune into rich, deep theological discussions, to have email exchanges with us, to be able to come to the video webinar that we did, or come to a conference if they're on furlough. It just goes on and on and on and on. So we're very thankful. We're humbled by the fact that the Lord has allowed us to do this. And what we're doing by way of publication, by way of conferences, by way of our podcasts, not just Christ the Center, by the way, but we also have Proclaiming Christ and others as well, the blog post, et cetera, we're finding that other believers, God's people throughout the world, really are being edified and built up. And we're humbled to be a part of that. And we're also very thankful to the Lord to be a part of that. We're thankful to our listeners and supporters who make that possible.
Amen, brother. Well put. So what are the action items, Mark, as we go forth from here? We need your prayer. We need everybody's support. I want feedback. I earnestly desire feedback and correction. So we can get that through email, but if you want to set up a time to call on the phone or talk or conference, we could have a town hall. All these things are ways that you can get in touch with us. But what would you say?
Yes, I think our to-dos is to, this is a start in the communication process of the future of Reform Forum. And we will most likely be able to do this more than just annually, giving you an update, kind of a state of the organization. Perhaps quarterly updates would be appropriate. They won't be in this depth, but maybe 2-minute, 5-minute snippets where we just give you an update what's taking place. Because
kind as like an investor call, it's like your corporation investor calls.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. We're going to put Camden on the hot seat every quarter. So
I have to talk in code,
tweet in all your difficult questions. Don't ask him about depreciation. Although, you know, Camden is probably the only pastor I've ever seen be able to handle a amortization or depreciation question. So,
we're all very much depreciated here.
at this point. our to-do is to be able to continue to communicate what's going on, what are the mileposts on this runway? What speed have we achieved? And we're committed to do that. This is just a start, certainly not a finish. As I mentioned already, please prayerfully consider after you have fulfilled your giving to your church, consider giving to Reform Forum to help us extend and build that runway so that we can be a handmaiden, a support to the church. As we have said so many times, we do not aim in any way to take anything away from the church, but to build her up, to make her a radiant bride for Christ. Mm-hmm. So prayerfully consider that and continue listening. I'll also ask you if you know people in your church that would be interested in hearing about theology, learning more. Tell them about us. Send them a link to the podcast. Send them a link to our website. Camden was just down at a few seminaries and remarked how many people had never heard of us. And yet our mm-hmm. subscribership continues to grow and grow and grow, both here in the United States as well as globally. Mm-hmm. So don't be surprised that many people have not heard of us. There were two brothers that came down to the Wimberley event that were just recently introduced to us, and they are on fire for the Lord, and they were just soaking this covenant theology up. So it was exciting to see We want to help support the churches, your local church as well. So, and lastly, I'm going to ask you to write us. Let us know what is working. Let us know what we could do to support you and your church.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Yeah, there'll be more details to follow in terms of the nuts and bolts of how we want to organize and develop this curriculum and then put it into an educational platform. If anybody's interested or knows about things like Khan Academy or edX to some degree, we're very interested, even to a degree, something like Duolingo, having a platform where people can follow along and listen to lectures and discussions in a structured and orderly way. And then when you finish a course, the system could say, well, now you finished this course, here are several other courses. These are some of the projects that we're working on funding, things we're working on accomplishing very soon. And if that gets you excited, you know, let us know. We'd like to hear that, and we'd like to have you come alongside us and support us. And we would definitely like to learn more. Because this is also the true ecclesiastical benefit to having my church call me as an evangelist to do this work, because the work of Reform Forum should never be divorced from the church. And so in this way, my local church has called me and said, you have this opportunity, you have these gifts to do these kinds of things. We want to send you to do that. But as we develop courses and other things, I'm able to teach them. I'm able to test them, and you know, in the context of that local church, and receive direct feedback and criticism, and use the church as a support. Where this local church here in Grays Lake, and your local churches in Hudson and in Ambler and in South Austin can say, this is helpful or this isn't helpful, and we take that feedback to heart. And work at developing things that are helpful and beneficial. So we're trying to dot every I and cross every T, not just in the abstract, not just financially or strategically, but even in terms of basing all of this upon our ecclesiology and basing it upon our interpretation and understanding of what Jesus is teaching us in his word. And we hope that we've done that. So the extent to which we have, I guess, can be measured by you, and we'd like to hear your feedback on those things. But with all that being said, I think this has been encouraging. It's been exciting to me. It's kind of a weight off my chest to be able to announce all of these things publicly. But we hope they've been encouraging also to the listener. Do you guys have any final words or parting words before we wrap things up?
Well, let's continue to maintain love of our Lord and the love mm-hmm. of his word and the love of the Reformed theology that got us off off to a running start years ago.
Yeah.
That's not something we're giving up or losing sight of. It's just that now it's taking on larger proportions. That's all.
Mm-hmm. It is. Well, with all that being said, I think it's a good time to wrap things up and again, keep the conversation going online. An easy way to get in touch with us is mail@reformedforum.org. Again, if you'd like to talk in over Zoom or teleconference or something like that, we'd be happy to set that up too. But email is a good first place to begin. You can also tweet us @reformedforum if you would so like. But we do want to thank everybody for listening. We hope you join us again next time on Christ the Center.